entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9 FM. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. Now here's your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. Today, addiction and recovery, and it's show 625 in our It's Your Business original series. On the second and fourth Tuesday each month, we provide support for Tallgrass recovery. And have we included Face It Together? You bet we have. The concern is to provide support to our community where 1 in 10 is believed to have a need for recovery or attention to addiction. The show, now almost a year old, and we know we have provided inspiration and attention to those in our audience. Joining us today from Tallgrass is Joan Swenson, Tallgrass Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance. Joan, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, you have some guests with us today, and actually this follows all of the no-nonsense, or actually the big nonsense events that we've been talking about. Those are the amateur nights, which she's nodding. They can see that on the
Sorry.
Radio.
Yeah.
You've only been doing
St. Patty's Day.
St. Patty's
Day. Beloved Amateurs Night. Yep.
Halloween.
Yep.
New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. So now that we're past those, let's get back into the routine that we have with some people that have been helping, are in recovery, and you have two guests today that you want to share. Can you introduce them?
I would love to. Our first guest is sitting to my left, for those people on the radio who can't see us, is my friend and coworker, Christine Baker. Christine's been sober and clean a little over 7 years. No. And she also runs the guest services out at Tallgrass and runs the sober living home program in our extended care. I've known Christine for probably a little over 3 years. We both started within 2 weeks of each other when we went to work at Tallgrass. So I've got to watch her go from the night, I guess, guest services person to the person she is today. Our other guest would be my friend Brad, who I have known since, I think, the whole time I've been sober. So a little over 6 years. And I'm going to let Brad tell a little bit of his story. But he is a volunteer for us. He also is a volunteer for Face It. He does a lot of great things out at Tallgrass. He does groups. He mentors people. He just generally tries to give back. And he's just a great guy. So why not have him on the show?
Now, if people have a need to talk to anybody at Tallgrass or Face It Together, we encourage that in this show.
Absolutely. If they were looking for anybody, or if you had a loved one who is needing some help, you can reach us at Tallgrass at 368-5559. If you want to reach Face It, I believe their number is 274-2262. And anybody's there 24 hours a day on both places that can help.
People joining us for the first time, they're going to say, you have people on the air admitting to where they've been and where they're going. Explain how people can do that. I'm looking at both Christine and Brad this morning as you're introducing them. And I'm not sure that I could sit there and do what they're doing. They're ready to help people this morning with where they've been and where they want to go with their lives. That's a pretty big step.
Absolutely. And bravo to all of those people who've been willing to come on the air and tell a little bit of their story. The thing is that we tell our stories so that somebody else can make that connection and say, okay, if that person can get help and recover from this disease, then maybe I can as well. We are taught when we get sober and into recovery that we must give it back. And that's what we try to do, not just me and not just these people in the studio are the ones who've come, but there's many ways that people are willing to share their story to help out. So it's just for hope. I mean, if the more we talk about it, the less the stigma, you know, is out there and people know. I mean, we're just regular people, you know, we happen to work in the field, but, you know, every guest that has come through here You know, they're all shapes and sizes. They all denominations. I mean, it's just a disease that covers everything. So, you know, it's important that people know that we recover.
Christine, as Joan was mentioning, you're the guest service manager, sober living home coordinator. How do you go from being addicted to being in that kind of a role, and how do you feel about helping people?
I think the main thing is motivation. I'm just really motivated today to share with people that there is hope, and that no matter how far down the scale we've gone, we can recover. And you know, I've done the jails, I've done the prison stint, I've done all of those things that people look down upon. And today I get to sit here 7 years sober and say that life is great. Life is better. And it's because of those people who stepped up and helped me along the way.
Don't use names, but I want you to pull up an experience in somebody that you helped and kind of take us through where you had been and how that helped you, talking to them and getting them to move on down the road a year, 5 years, 7 years, to like you are today. You're in the program for psychology at SDSU.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that sticks out to me is when I was sitting in the jail, and this goes back to somebody who helped me, but there were a couple of ladies who would come in and bring their experience, strength, and hope to the girls in the jail, and I was one of them. And they extended their hand to me, and when I got out, I had a phone number. I had somebody to call, and I made that call. And from that point forward, I felt connected. I felt like somebody cared. I felt like I could talk to somebody. And that's what I get to do today. I get to go to work every day and sit across the table from someone and tell them that I know what it feels like to be where you are. And there's hope. It may not feel like it right now, but we are a testimony to that hope. And if we can just reach out our hands and make that connection with somebody, we get to watch their eyes light up and they know they're not alone. And that's why I do this. That's why it's so important that we do this.
Christine, my guess is, having heard this, I don't know how many times now, Joan, in the last year, people that have been able to mentor, people that have been able to help. I would guess, Christine, and Brad, you as well, that having been there, you can say things to people that make you more of an expert as far as how you can help them to get back where they really want to go.
There's a quote that I like to use when it comes to that, and it's a quote by Henry Ford. And it says that experience is the thing of supreme value. And I believe that in this process of recovery, experience is our biggest asset. And it hurts going through it, and it stinks, and it sometimes we go, why do I have to experience this? But later down on the road, you get that aha moment. You go, okay, I know why I had to go through that. It's so I can talk to this person today.
We're going to talk with Brad about his experience. We're going to talk as well about some of the places we've been in this show in the last 3 or 4 months. Some of the people we've talked to, and give you an update today. It's the Addiction Recovery Show, show number 625 in our business series. Glad to have you joining us this morning. Welcome back to It's Your Business. As we do on the second and fourth Tuesday each month, we provide support for Tallgrass Recovery and Face It Together. Addiction, a problem that faces 1 in 10, maybe more, in our community. We're here to provide some help and give you some support. And Joan, when we say that, we do mean it.
We most absolutely do mean it. Yes, we do. We're here to help wherever and however we can.
We know that there are calls that come in after we do the show. Mm-hmm. We've heard that before. What does it take for somebody to have the courage to get on the phone and call?
Well, I can tell you in my own life, it tends to be somebody gets to the point, if it is the person who suffers from the disease, that generally they've just gotten tired of, you know, they don't know what else to do. They've tried everything else. If they're like any of us sitting in this room or the three of us, they have tried everything for a long time to learn how to control it or to scale it back or to do whatever means they can by themselves to take care of it. And they have come to a moment where they've realized that they cannot. That's usually when we will get a call for help. If it's a family member, it's generally before that moment. Because they have noticed it a lot longer than the people who are active in the disease. They have noticed things along the way, you know, and they've gotten to a point where they no longer can be quiet about it. And then that's when we get a call about it as well. And then the hope is that we can bridge the gap between the person who is active in the disease, the family, and what we need to do after that. So,
Joan, one of the things that I've learned real quick is the I word, and that's intervention.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to have made a difference for a lot of people. And the family said, we need to help you. We want you back the way you were as much as we can get.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, you know, we use the word intervention, and there are people who are out there who actually help with interventions. We've had people come out to Tallgrass, and if you would like to call it intervention, I always just say when they call in, can we bring them out? I say, well, let's just sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk. I mean, because really, you know, when we're in the disease, there's so much denial about what's going on and fear. There's a huge amount of fear because you're about ready to give something up or you're getting to the point of it's not working anymore. So, you know, just being able to sit down across the table from somebody who's already been there, you know, it makes a huge difference. But, you know, interventions help. Just talking, being honest with the people that are suffering seems to make a difference as well. I mean, there's so much shame involved in the disease that the longer we shove it under the carpet, the worse it seems to get.
If you're listening out there and you need help or you know someone that needs the I word, the intervention, how do they reach you?
They can reach us at Tallgrass at 368-5559.
Brad has been in recovery for 7 years. He's a volunteer for Tallgrass, does many things. He has mentored people through the first 7 of the 12 steps. Just looking at some of your notes here, Brad, you kind of thought about yourself being on the treatment circuit. You went to 4 different treatment facilities, and you probably, like a lot of people that we've heard on the air, have said, I tried for many years to handle the problems myself. I was raised that one needs to clean up his own stuff, not to let people know you have a problem with anything. The pride.
Exactly. You know, I went through many years of you know, just suffering inside and trying to paint the picture outside that everything was good and rosy and that I needed to take care of it myself. And you know, I just got to that point where I couldn't do it anymore. I needed help, and even though I had reached out many times and, you know, gone through treatment, always thinking that, you know, if I just do another treatment facility, you know, I'll be okay, you know. I just kind of was in that cycle where I'd go through treatment and then I would start to feel good about myself again and life would go on. And you know, and I would kind of quit doing anything except for you know, there was no backup, you know, no follow through once I got through with treatments. So I would eventually end up back drinking. So
it didn't keep you sober.
It didn't keep me sober.
That was the revelation that I was reading about you, Brad, and the fact that today you're a volunteer. Somehow, from what we read and I believe of you, 7 years in recovery means
yes.
That you're sober?
I am sober today, yes. By the grace of God, I am. You know, and that's the longest I've ever gone without picking up a drink. So, you know, I'm very grateful for that today. And I know I can't do it alone. So, which is one of the reasons that I volunteer, because A, Joan had made reference to, you know, we learn we have to give it away if we want to keep it, you know. And by volunteering, it keeps me active in my own recovery. And it gives me a chance to share my experience, strength, and hope with others, because that's what worked for me. That's what finally kept me sober.
We have mentioned on the show, but we haven't had you on the show. The amateur nights that we mentioned, Halloween, New Year's Eve, St. Patrick's Day, where people are out.
Yes.
They enjoy themselves 150%. The amateur nights, was that your problem, or was it something else? It was an ongoing need to escape.
You know, for me, it was, you know, I admit, you know, I love to party. I love to drink, you know. I was very good at the amateur nights. I certainly, you know, those were times for me to go out and party, but, you know, in between there, I had to fill the gap, you know, and it was just, drinking was just a part of my daily life, you know, and I was a pretty functioning alcoholic where, you know, I held down an 8-to-5 job and, you know, and tried to work hard and, you know, but at night it was, you know, belling up to the bar, you know, and, you know, and I kind of took a little pride at, you know, I could drink quite a bit and still seem to be sober. So, yeah, you know, the amateur nights, those were amateur nights for a lot of people because they didn't drink like I did. And most people didn't know the way I drank. So.
Joan, back on January 14th, we talked about binge drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good place to do this here in a top 10 list of cities in the United States that we listed at that point. Somebody this morning said, yep, there's the Bisons, number one.
Yeah.
They're number one in a lot of things this year. Brookings, number 5 in the country. Lincoln, number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Binge drinking is something that you know too closely.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I started out as a binge drinker through my, I guess, my 20s, you know. I mean, for me, there was never a, how do you say, I didn't understand why you, if you were going to drink, you were there to get drunk, you know. And there, the way of doing that, of course, was as much alcohol as you could possibly consume. You know, for me, I would, when I was at the bar and me and my friends, it would end up going and throwing up and coming back so that you could consume more, you know. And that was considered, that was an average Saturday night for me. So binge drinking, you know, went on for a great number of years. And then at some point slipped into more of a daily drinker to a, you know, all the lines in the sand were getting crossed. And then before long, I was an all day, every day drinker. So binge drinking is very scary, I guess, basically. I mean, the amount of alcohol that people consume at that point. I think didn't we have the FDA or whoever said that the average, the baseline for how much you're supposed to be drinking for a woman is like 2 drinks. If you drink over 2 drinks a night, you have a problem with alcohol. And I couldn't even imagine, even now, but when I was drinking 2 drinks, that why would you only have 2 drinks? That just is such a foreign concept to me. And a lot of people like me. And some people who binge drink, I think, grow out of that. They get married. They do whatever. You know, it seems to be something that happens with people in their early 20s. But, nah, not me. I just moved on. So.
Brad, doesn't sound like yours was a binge drink.
You know, there were times when it was a binge drink. But, you know, I was a lot like Joan where, you know, if I was going to drink, you know, it was to get drunk. You know, I didn't think about it at the time. It's more in retrospect, you know. But, you know, I was pretty famous about saying that, you know, let's go out for 1 or 2 drinks, knowing that it was going to be 1 or 2 hours or 1 or 2 bottles or 1 or 2 cases,
mm-hmm.
You know. So it was binge drinking, but I never thought of it that way.
Well, we're going to talk more with Christine and with Brad and Joan. All a part of our addiction recovery show today. If you need help, the number to call is
605-368-5559, and there's somebody there 24 hours a day to help you.
When we get back, we'll talk more. Welcome back to It's Your Business. As we do on the second, fourth Tuesday of the month, we talk addiction and recovery with Joan Swenson, Tallgrass, and occasionally we have Face It Together on the show. This is the first one they've missed in a long time.
Yeah, we're kind of lonely without them, aren't we?
I know, but they were said they were busy today.
Yeah, they
and
were.
If somebody that's in addiction recovery says they're busy,
yep.
We believe they're busy.
Yep, she, Jules, said she'd be back in 2 weeks, so.
How do you work with Face It Together in the community?
In the community, well, we spread the word about each other, for one thing. We both deal with a lot of people calling in. We refer people back and forth. And occasionally we will join on the same platform together if it's something that, you know, works for both of us. So we work very well with Face It Together, but it's mostly a referral case, and there are people over there. When we have people who've come through our program, we like to, and they're moving into sober homes or whatever, we like to make sure they go down and see the ladies and, you know, get registered for whatever they need, if it's phone counseling or whatever. They help them do resumes, they help them get jobs, I mean, that sort of thing. So we're really good about trying to help not only all the people that come through our program, but if people call, they're like a clearinghouse is what I hear Elizabeth call them. So if we don't necessarily know the answer, we will send them a lot of times over there and have them call down to Face It. So
if you're listening to the show saying, gee, I wish somebody else would be listening this morning, it will be on podcast at Kello Radio. You can go to the podcast and then hit It's Your Business, and it should be up. Brownie will have it up by no later than Thursday morning. A lot of times it's Wednesday. But if there are some things in here you say, you know, there are people in the community that are willing to help, we would ask that you send them to the podcast this morning. Now, our guest in studio with Joan is Brad, who's been in recovery for 7 years. He's a volunteer for Tallgrass that does many things. And Christine Baker is the guest services manager and sober living home coordinator. One-to-one recovery, Brad. That's one of the things that we wanted to talk a little bit to you about. That's got to be an effective way to work, because you're looking him in the eye saying, I've been there, I can help you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Excuse me. You know, one-to-one recovery is, it's what works for me. You know, I'm not good in large settings, and, you know, I've always had a problem of just feeling different and feeling kind of outside the box. But when somebody sat down with me, you know, one-on-one, and we started talking about our stories, I found the similarities that I wasn't alone, you know, and it was a comfortable setting, and, you know, and the fact that somebody would sit down and take the time to just hear me out, you know, and hear where I was at and say, you know, I've been there before, you know, and share their story with me, you know, and I learned that I'm not alone, you know, and then on top of that, you know, I found out they had a solution that worked for them, and they were willing to share it with me, you know, and that's what really worked for me and what kept me in recovery, you know, was that I found out I wasn't alone, but I needed to sit down with one person. I can sit in a large group and just kind of get lost and just, you know, fade into the corners, but when I'm sitting across the table with somebody who understands me, it really works for me.
You work with both Tallgrass and Face It Together.
I do. I volunteer for both organizations. With Tallgrass, I do some mentoring, you know, and I go out and I share with groups, you know, about just my experience and where I've been, you know, and you know, just let people know that I'm no different than they are. You know, I struggle too, and with with Face It Together Sioux Falls, I actually call people on a weekly basis and just say, hey, how you doing on your recovery, you know, and it's people who usually, you know, they're looking for a little help, and so they sign up for the service where volunteers come in and just call and say, hey, how you doing on your recovery, you know, and I'm amazed at...
You don't want to sound like a mother when you do that. You want to really be...
No.
Very much concerned, and they know that in your voice you're not being dictatorial, you're just being helpful.
Exactly, you know. you know, it's just how's your day going, how's your week going, you know, and do you have any struggles, and it's just sharing one-on-one again, and what I love about doing that volunteering is interacting with people who are struggling with their addictions, but doing it one day at a time, and you know, they're hungry for people to talk to, You know, that's what I've really found. You know, when they pick up that phone, they're glad that somebody called. And I can remember there was a lot of times in my life where I felt that way. You know, I just want somebody to talk to. I feel all alone. So to get that call from Face It, you know, sometimes that's the highlight of their week. So, you know, so to be on the end of that where, you know, they're grateful for that, you know, that's very rewarding too.
Christine, you are the guest services manager, sober living home coordinator. You're in recovery now for 7 years. You've seen prison.
Yes.
You've worked probation. You're now off to college working on a psychology bachelor's degree, yep. SDSU. You want to talk about the program?
I do. I want to encourage people. Tallgrass is a wonderful environment, and our 30-day program is really an immersion into a 12-step process. We go on a soul search. Each of our guests go on a soul search, and we look at root causes. What's making me do this? And we find resentments, fear, dishonesty, selfishness. We find all of those things, and we really look at those. And our volunteers are what makes that work. Like Brad was saying, that one-on-one connection with somebody who has been through it and has had to look at all of that dirt from their own past. And I think if someone can honestly look at what's really going on and say, you know what, there is a problem here. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not working. If somebody can get that small amount of willingness and honesty, we can help them. We can help them move through that process. The sober living homes are we have three. They're located in Sioux Falls, and they're self-governing homes. And I, as the coordinator, will go in once a week to these homes, and I'll talk to the guests in the homes and find out how their week's going, you know, kind of like Brad was talking about, just extending a hand and talking to them. And of course, as an organization, we have expectations and responsibilities they have to follow, paying membership fees, going to 12-step meetings, remaining abstinent, of course. But it's about changing behaviors and changing how we go about life. And our sober homes give people that opportunity. And overall, over the whole spectrum of what Tallgrass does, human connection is the key. And, you know, we can have all of the knowledge in the world. We can know what to do. We can know the material. But until we take action, it's a moot point. It's void. The knowledge is void until we take action. And that's what Tallgrass provides is a way to learn how to take that action.
Joan, as we hear them talk this morning.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they, huh?
They are good, and it's interesting to see your reaction with the crop of people that you bring through here. Very much down-to-earth people, very much understanding that they can't quit in their own recovery, and sometimes the best medicine for them is to talk to others, which makes them stronger.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of the key to all of this. I mean, Christine touched a little bit on the human connection, you know, when we're active in our addiction. And we have isolated ourselves. Brad talked about how he could be in a whole room and he's on the edge of the corners and you're still lonely, you know. So that's the great thing about sharing your story is that you have the ability then to make that connection with someone else, whether it's one-on-one or whether you're doing it on the radio or whether you're, you know, however you're going to do that, but that ability to share your story is, for me, has been very freeing of the story. Because when I got into recovery, I was very ashamed of the things I had done while I was drinking. As I told the story, as I progressively got better and better, and I was able to tell my story to other people, it just became part of the story. It was no longer had that bondage to hang on to me the way it did when I first came in. And, you know, I found that connection, the human connection that I could make or create with someone else was life-changing. You know, and I think that's kind of, I can speak for probably everybody who's come on this radio, has been a guest for us. That has been the tipping point for them when they were willing to tell the truth to another human being about what was going on. Things began to change for them.
As you've listened this morning or listening on the podcast as it's come out, we want you to consider calling Tallgrass. Ask for Brad, ask for Christine, ask for Joan.
Yep.
What do they call?
They call. Tallgrass' number is 368-5559, or you can reach us on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
We're going to go back and review some of those people that have been on the show, just like Brad and Christine. We'll talk about their circumstances, other circumstances that made us think about life in general. That'll all be part of our It's Your Business Addiction Recovery Show. Addiction recovery, something that Sioux Falls is trying to do something about. 1 in 10 believe to have a need for recovery or attention to addiction. Tallgrass is working on that, as is Face It Together. And Joan, we were talking about numbers. I'm only in show 625. You guys have had 900 people that have come in, and actually that's a little higher today.
Yep. Yesterday, guest 906 checked into Tallgrass. And that's in our almost eight-year history of actually having the campus open. I should be better. Next time I come, I'll let you know exactly how many sober living homes people have come through, because that's been open for almost, that was started before Tallgrass, so that was open for almost 11 years now. So it's been pretty exciting out at our campus. And we're just a small 14-bed facility, so it's pretty cool to have 900 walk through our door, so.
I think Brad and Christine have done a fabulous job today.
They have. We can have them back again, don't you think?
I think so.
Such well-spoken people.
Very, very much. And we're going to have them jump in on the list of those. We're going to kind of go back and review and talk about where they're at today, how they're doing in their recovery. March 11th, we talk with Jessie, who had just hit the 9-month milestone in recovery, a young mom who had a story to tell about how she knew she had to change, but really had to have an intervention.
Absolutely. Jessie is doing well. In fact, I think I got a text from her yesterday. She's probably listening right now. So hi, Jessie. She's doing well and, you know, active in her own recovery. She calls to make sure that she's not from our town. So she lives about an hour north of us, I think, in Brookings 5 on the list.
Yeah.
So she calls to see when she's coming down, if there's anything that she can do. So she is plugging away in her own recovery, which is awesome.
Now, we did have to do a show without you.
I know. And I would lie to you and tell you that I was sad that I wasn't here, but I wasn't. And I was in Cancun.
You were recovering in another way.
I was. In the sun.
It was February 25th. Dennis Ford, who is the boss out at Tallgrass, and Julie Schoolmeister, of course, from Face It Together, we're here along with Gloria Damgaard, Executive Director, South Dakota Board of Nursing. The discussion centered around nurses lifting medication, which amounted, we were told, to 1% of the suspensions of medical personnel in South Dakota. 10% is the normal number of those with addictions. And even Gloria explained there probably should be more on the medical side. In South Dakota, in case you don't know, there's no mandatory reporting on what it means to the hospital if they find a nurse suspected of abusing drugs, and there's no routine drug testing. That was an interesting show, and we appreciated Gloria coming on talking about that.
I still am baffled by the non-routine of UAs that would be giving to somebody who is in the field that has access to, you know, those types of drugs. I guess where we come from, it's just part of our job is that we would take random UAs whenever you get the call and you would go. And I was surprised to find out that they didn't do that in nursing or in a hospital at anything. I know that when I worked for Avera before I worked for Tallgrass, and it was part of your hire. But I guess I don't remember. Of course, I didn't have access to the drugs either. But, you know, it was part of that. If there was suspicion, if they suspected, though, they did, you were given a UA, because I do know that that had happened while I was working there. So,
actually, that show in February the 25th was set up by a January 28th appearance of Carrie Nielsen, alumni of both tall grass and face it together. She'd been in recovery for 4 years. She's now a kitchen manager and the chef at Tallgrass.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
She explained that while she was making her rounds as a licensed nurse in a South Dakota facility from 2007 to 2010, she was hiding a darker side. She admitted to getting her hands on morphine, Vicodin, and simply was being thrown away. And she just couldn't see it being thrown away, and she took it home. She admitted to the fact that it was a big lie for her, and she was actually relieved when she lost her job.
Yep. I remember when she was talking about that relief that she got. You know, there's so much fear leading up to that point because you know what you're doing is, you know, obviously if you're, in Carrie's case, I was shooting up, you know, the waste from different patients that they had. And the lie that is webbed around something like that, you know, tends to take a toll on a person. So when she talked about that relief of being, okay, suspected and then confronted with that, and then that lie is over, you know, that part is over. And you don't really think, at least, you know, you wouldn't really think that that would be such a moment of change, you know, how terrible that must feel. But you're, the relief of coming from being able to come clean and be able to walk away from that. So it was, she had a great story. We're very blessed to have Carrie with us at Tallgrass.
And she openly says she doesn't want to go back to the nursing side.
No, she had... There was periods since I've known her, and I've known her whole sobriety, where she had talked about possibly going back, and then for whatever reason, she's like, I have no desire to go back and be a nurse. And, you know, God love her for that, you know, trying to navigate life. And, you know, here's your career, basically, you know, and she would be able to go back and get her license. And just, no, I don't think so. She doesn't want the stress or the pressure of being a nurse again. And she's very happy with what she does now.
The pressure, too, is that you're not of the right mind as you're making your rounds as the nurse. You might hurt a patient.
Right.
And Gloria and Carrie, in the two different shows in January and February, said they didn't knowingly at any point hurt a patient.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God. That is by the grace of God right there. So,
February 11th, we talked about the death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. We did get into the fact that... people need help with relapses and prevention. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, we talked a lot about relapse. There is, SAMHSA has a statistic, and I know I was taught or told when I went to my first inpatient treatment that look to your right and look to your left. Only one of you will be sober in a year, and that's one out of three. I believe that that first year of recovery is so difficult in navigating how to stay clean and sober that the possibility of relapse is so real at that point. I do want to say you can get help and you can go through treatment and you can go to 12-step meetings and you do not have to relapse. There are people who have not relapsed in their sobriety. You know, once I went through Tallgrass, I have not had a relapse. You know, I've had thoughts of drinking. I have not drank. I've had put that foundation down where I like that was necessary for too. But people do relapse. So when that does happen, pick up the phone, call somebody, tell somebody what's going on because it is going to be, your disease is going to be exactly where, if not further along, you left it before you relapse. So it is important to get help. And if that Philip Seymour, I think everybody was, none of us even knew the man. But we were so touched about what had happened with him in our community that it's just kind of like, it just is a reminder that it's so deadly. Our disease is so very deadly, and it's, you know, you need help.
You know, we'd like to think the media is helpful, and they're not always when it comes to addiction recovery and being understanding. But there were a couple of writers that we quoted on that show. One was a writer for the San Francisco Chronicle that said, I hope we'll use Hoffman's tragic death from a heroin overdose to remind ourselves that drug addiction is pretty ordinary. And he said, I've got several addicts in my extended family. So do millions of other Americans. If you think that any of us is immune from drug addiction, you're wrong.
You're very, very wrong. We're everywhere, not only active in drug and alcohol addiction, but in recovery. You just don't necessarily know that, you know, because of people don't talk about it. They're beginning to talk about it more and more. And things like this that happen, you know, when he died, that was all over the news. You know, I think we talked about it for a good 2 weeks. And I know we talked about it on two different shows. And, you know, we talked about the prescription drugs and all of that and how this starts. You know, nobody wakes up one morning and says, hey, I think I'm going to try to destroy my life by a needle in my arm and a bottle in my hand. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's a slow and progressive disease. Now, with some things like prescription painkillers, it can be a little, it can be faster because of just the components of what they do to your brain. You know, but it's important to know that none of us woke up one morning and this is what I planned for my life. You know, here I am, you know. So I think it's important that we know everybody is affected by this disease. And there are so many, millions and millions of people who suffer from it.
And a writer from Business Week wrote, there's more than one way to view Mr. Hoffman's end. Sadness seems required, but let's pay some respect as well. He had an illness. He fought it more than two decades. While fighting it, he did a lot of outstanding work. He improved the culture. Then he fell off the wagon. But let's remember that he tried.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can ever do in addiction recovery is try.
Yep. I never, you know, it's a daily battle, you know. Some days it's just, you have, we're taught where I come from that you have 24 hours to do this deal and that's it. You don't get to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. And if you can stay sober in those 24 hours and clean, you have a shot to make a difference the next day, you know. And he was a good man. Again, none of us knew him, but there are so many of us out there, you know. His story is no different than Brad's, Christine's, or mine, you know. And I hope that I have, over my span of recovery and will continue in my recovery, to keep doing the legwork that is necessary for myself to stay in recovery. And just like with us sitting here today and telling our stories, that's part of it. That's the kind of things that will help keep us clean and sober.
When we come back, you need help, you need an intervention, we'll tell you how. All a part of It's Your Business, Addiction and Recovery. Welcome back to It's Your Business. Addiction and recovery is our topic, as we do on the second and the fourth Tuesday of the month. Joining us this morning, Christine Baker, guest services manager and sober living home coordinator at Tallgrass, and Brad, who has been in recovery for 7 years. He volunteers for Tallgrass and for Face It Together. All right, first time you guys have been in front of the microphones. If he had 60 seconds in an elevator to tell somebody that you're there for them, Christine, what would you say?
I would say to all of those who are listening who are in an uncomfortable spot and scared and not sure of what the next minute is going to bring, you are not alone. And we are here to help you. And you can call us. There are people that want to help you.
Brad?
I was thinking earlier about about addiction, and when I was living in, you know, my alcoholism, you know, actively drinking. And for me, you know, that was the normal life I grew up around, you know, drinking, and that was the normal thing to do. But there came a point in time in my life where, you know, it wasn't working for me anymore. The party just wasn't there, and it was causing a great deal of damage to my own self, plus the people, you know, who were in my life, and it was ruining me, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And like Christine said, you know, I had to reach out and realize, you know, I needed help. And today I'm grateful that there's people out there who want to help and want to share their stories. And, you know, that's what worked for me is just reaching out and saying, I can't live my life this way anymore. You know, and there was fear there, but I've gotten past it, and my life is so much better.
Joan, numbers to call so they can get that help.
If you want to reach Tallgrass, our number is 605-368-5559. You can reach us on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
Our show continues to be a vehicle that can get you some help if you need it or know someone that does. Don't be afraid to call Tallgrass. Many of the people you hear in our show 2 times a month are there to help you as well. They've been there, and they want to help you. Sioux Falls has some help. We have Tallgrass, Face It Together, Counseling Center is working for you. For now, though, today, our time is up. We do thank you for yours.
Kello, News Talk 1320 KEL.